Lecture 5, Social Rebellion, the Pugachev Uprising.
Last few lectures, we've been talking mostly about elites and especially about the state and its rulers. However, the majority of the Russian population, as you probably imagine, were not elites, not rulers, but ordinary peasants, poor, rural farm people. And this, in fact, was true well into the 20th century, in fact, all the way to the 1960s. What this lecture focuses on is these peasants in the 18th century, the middle and the latter part of the 18th century, on their lives and their desires. And first, we look at the texture and the structure of their everyday lives, how peasants, especially serfs, lived. And then, in order to better understand their way of looking at the world, how they understood the world around them, we look at, since we don't have texts written by them and we can't go back and converse with them, we look at one of those rare moments when we actually can hear peasant voices, even if extreme moments, namely times of protest and rebellion. And in particular, we'll look at a peasant rebellion that truly terrified the Russian state, the Russian elites, a rebellion known as the Pugachev Uprising, or the Pugachev Rebellion, named after one of the individuals who led it. This is one that took place in the time of Catherine the Great, in particular 1773 to 1774. Now, the starting point for really understanding Russian peasants in the 18th century has to be the fact that the majority were what are called serfs, which meant, in practice, that they had no legal right to leave the land on which they were usually born, no legal right to leave the service of the nobleman who owned that land. The other thing to keep in mind is that this institution of serfdom tended to intensify. And by the way, this serfdom in many ways was as intense as slavery by the 18th centuries. And it had been intensified especially as nobles themselves were freed from service by Peter III, and that was maintained by Catherine II. As they were freed from service, they tended to go back to their estates, or at least pay more attention to agriculture. And as such, the conditions of peasants, of serfs, tended to worsen. Now, serfdom itself, I should mention, evolved rather gradually over the centuries, during the Muscovite years. And as the state granted various lands to nobles in return for service, so that they would have troops that they could call up, they would call up their own serfs, they would have an income from these agricultural estates, in order to ensure that they would have a sufficient supply of peasant labor, namely that peasants wouldn't simply run away as soon as the landlord arrived and was told that these was now your new master when you had none before. The government, to ensure this, restricted peasant mobility by law. As I mentioned before, in the 1649 law code, the state permanently attached all peasants to their estates. And this didn't matter whether they were private, belonging to landlords, who nobles given serfs or land with serfs in return for service, but also it included lands owned by the state, where you became essentially the serf of the government, or belonging to the crown, to the royal family. You became a peasant belonging to the royal family, or the church as well, which held large amounts of land and had its own serfs. Technically, it's worth saying that serfs and other bound peasants, estate peasants, crown peasants, church peasants, were not slaves. But in reality, and I should say they were not slaves, because technically they were bound to the land itself, the land owned by the state or by a landlord. They were not bound to the individual who owned this land. But in reality, in practice, there was little fundamental difference between serfdom and slavery, at least by the 18th century. There were basically no legal limits whatsoever over what a landlord could do with a serf, including selling them as individuals and breaking up families. Though most of the time, landlords only wanted one thing out of peasants: work and money. They had to work the lands that belonged to the landlord that were called estate lands, where they would work as a type of labor service. And peasants also had their own plots of land that they could grow crops on. They could sell them. They mostly used them to eat.